Was there anything, did you come home from school and your parents said, well, President's dead? Was it announced beforehand? I mean, what?
It was announced in school. Initially as kids, because generally the people I was around were opposed to him and his policies. It was a kind of initial reaction, well, that removes that problem, kind of. But, I mean, when you sat and thought about it, I mean, this was the President of the United States, and he'd just been killed. This was a man who just gunned down. He was riding in a car with his wife, and he was shot. And she had to see and live through this and so forth, and that was a shame. It was sad. The difference politically for the United States, I felt overall, would probably be a better direction. But that's not the way to get to that direction. The way to get to that direction really would be to have the next election elect someone else. But I think that any time you have someone who's killed or murdered or something like that, I think it's a sad day. I think it's a sad day for the country, especially to have someone in high office like that, which should be a respected leader, shot down.
Let's see. How, when Vietnam really began to pick up for the United States, since we were really over there for a long time before it became a big war for us, how old were you? You were right out of high school? Or around that age?
Yeah. I mean, it was just sort of events and things that occurred, and we were training people over there, and it was basically just the Green Berets and kind of a police action and an assistance type action and so forth, and you didn't think much about it because there was no way in the world it was really going to last long enough that I was going to be involved. I mean, you had a good feeling that we were trying to do something, to accomplish something, and felt there was a purpose for the country.
You were never called up.
I went to school, and I had...
What school? You mean college?
College. Draft deferment. Mm-hmm. And I was in school 4 years. You know, I didn't really have a set major, and I drifted around too much, so I never completed school, even though I was actually there 4 years. But then they came up with the lottery, the numbers it drew. And my number came up as 101. And I was most likely going to have to go. And I believed enough in the United States and what we were doing that I was willing to accept being drafted instead of trying to dodge it. And that way I would still only be gone 2 years, but I would go to Vietnam. If you were drafted, you were going to Vietnam, and I was willing to go.
Well, okay, explain that. The basic, you said if you got 101, which meant that you were more than likely going. How did the lottery work?
They basically put numbers in, and for each day they would draw from it, and then your birthday became, depending on what your birthday was, that was your number. Mm-hmm. And January got a lot of early numbers. I think somehow they messed that up good, and a lot of January went up on top, but there wasn't much you could do about that. But by having 101, I was going to have to go, because they were drafting through one, through two, until they got up to a certain number, and then they'd taken their quota for the year. And you didn't know what number they were going to achieve, but they were breaking well into the hundreds. And sure, I should have gone, but I applied for a 50-year deferment.
What?
50-year deferment. You can only have 4 years deferment for college. Mm-hmm. 50-year roll around, I applied just as if I was entitled to it. And the draft board did not draft me. But they sent me a letter that said, "Dear Mr. Finn, so sorry we missed you." This is the gist of it. Mm-hmm. I tell it sort of as a funny, but "so sorry we missed you last year, but you'll be before number one next year." There's no question I was going. Before number one, I was going to be drafted because they were going to draft some people. Well, that was when President Nixon banned the draft for 3 months. And that was the only requirement, was when you were carried over till next year, as far as your draft eligibility, they had 3 months to draft you in. And he banned the draft for 3 months. So since no one was drafted for those first 3 months, I didn't go. And I'm very thankful I didn't, because I think it was I've known a lot of people since then, and they're just destroyed. There's some real serious effect on people, and it's like there was no cause, and I think that's the most serious effect, is the fact that they were there and they really don't believe that what they were doing was right.
Before I ask this other question, why did Nixon ban it for 3 months? What was his purpose?
A lot of it just because of the objection to the draft. And I think it was more of a political move on his part to try and win the support of the country by trying to bring it around to where we want really volunteers to go, not draftees, because there was a lot of people that objected to the draft and a lot of people that were skipping out of the country. I think it was more of a call upon the American people themselves to volunteer for the war, to go to the war, rather than be drafted. I'm not sure why, but I'm thankful that he did.
Now, that's the question which I was going to ask. You say you now know people who were destroyed by it, and that it was a pointless war, but back then you were for it. Now, was that the general outlook of people? That it was a just war at that time and there was a point to it?
At that point, it was more of a feeling of there was a country that wanted our support. But I mean, as more and more was exposed about what was really occurring over there, you found out that really the people we were fighting were the people we were supposedly supporting. The Vietnamese considered themselves basically one people and had been fighting for years. They fought the French when they were there. Now they were fighting us. I don't know that we really accomplished anything. We killed a lot of people. And if we were going to go fight a war, then go fight a war. With this police action type thing where you sit there and you don't try to win, don't be there. If you're going to have a confrontation, you're going to try to do something, try to do something. But this business of letting them build up supplies across the border, let them stockpile full well knowing they're going to hit you, they're shipping supplies for your enemy from bases in Cambodia across the border where they're supposedly protected. Man, if you're going to go over there and just play around, don't be there.